Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our program, Clear for Takeoff, here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And before we begin our program today, which prepares us for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, let's begin, my friends, with our checklist. Number one, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have quality time set aside today for God? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. And are you distraction-free at this time? Check. And once again, my friends, if you've answered yes to the four questions, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. And here we go. Our first reading is from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 2, 7 to 9, 12 to 13, and 22 to 23. In those days, Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers by night and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade, with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" So David took the spear and the water jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep, because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He said, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will renew each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord delivered you from into his grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Samuel today, my friends, we see Saul unharmed because he has been labeled as an anointed one by David. He is unharmed, unpunished, and unchallenged because David knew that the Lord had anointed Saul. And this is important, my friends. And David said this. He said, "The Lord will reward every man for his justice and faithfulness." And as we proceed in daily life, my friends, it's our job to bring fairness and justice to situations that are unfair and unjust. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." So where do we see today injustices? Where do we see injustices throughout the world? We've seen great examples of injustices that took the lives of millions in the Holocaust and in other countries throughout the world. We've seen great situations where lives were taken. We see today that the unborn child is not treated fairly. And we have to bring justice to the courts for the unborn child. What else can we do, my friends, to bring justice into the courthouses when men and women are treated unfairly? Innocent people going to prison. Think about it. And it's important that we stand up strong, my friends, for the faith, and strong for those who are innocent and have been convicted unfairly. And in the WINGS program, we have seen thousands of men come through our program, some of which were innocent, and we have gone to bat for them, striving to bring justice into the situation which was unjust. And the Lord talks about being faithful. David says again, the Lord will reward every man for his justice and faithfulness. Are you and I faithful to God, my friends? Are we faithful to the Lord day in and day out? Are we firm in our faith, or are we weak? Do we have room to grow? Where are you in your faith, my friends? Are you stagnating, or are you growing? Or is your faith non-existent and you have great work to do? Again, this is a time, my friends, when we can make the change and to get on board with what the Lord is talking about. Very important. Our first reading from 1 Samuel talks about faithfulness and justice. Those are two areas that we need to work on day in and day out to bring fairness and justice to the unjust situations that exist sometimes in corporate America, where people are being treated unfairly, sometimes in situations where laws have been made that are definitely in a position where they need to be changed because they are unfair, they are unjust, and they're not treating others as we should be treated. So this is important, my friends. Again, the book of 1 Samuel calls us to stand up strong for our faith in God, to be faithful to God week in and week out, month in and month out. Let's go forward, my friends, into the next reading with that thought in mind. In a practical sense, what can you do to bring greater justice into your life in whatever circle you are in? And are you faithful to God? Ask yourself that objectively. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 45 through 49. Brothers and sisters, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, earthly, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And today in 1 Corinthians, my friend, St. Paul talks about the first man and the second man is referring to Adam from Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, and making the comparison to Jesus, who came from heaven and was placed here on earth for a special purpose to give us access to eternal life. Jesus, who lived a sin-free life. Conversely, Adam and Eve were part of the original sin that took place. And he talks about Adam and his association with earthly men who are the same. Because you and I, my friends, are sinners. You and I will sin again and again and again. But we strive to sin less. We strive to do what the Lord talks about us doing in the Word of God. And the Lord, who is perfect, who is our role model, the Son of God, who came down from heaven, is our heavenly Father's Son, placed here on earth for a special purpose to give us access to eternal life. The Lord who died for us, who lived a sin-free life, who teaches us everything, who provides everything. And St. Paul basically says this. He says, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life. He's a life-giving spirit who gave his life so that we can have access to eternal life one day with our Father in heaven. And St. Paul does a great job of making that comparison. Adam, who is imperfect, to our Lord Jesus, the second Adam, who is perfect, who is the Son of the Father, who is our everything, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is the Word of God. And so we look to the Lord, my friends. We look to God to put our trust in God 100% and to not look to man who can let us down. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is important because we often will put our trust into the wrong people. We've talked about it before. But here, St. Paul makes it clear that Adam himself, a man from earth, an earthly man, and his association with other men throughout time. We are all men. We're flawed. We have human error. But the Lord is different. He is part divine and part human. And he came for a purpose. He died on the cross for us, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And our belief in him and obedience to the Word of God and the Father gives us access to eternal life. And it's powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading now from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34. Excuse me, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, to you who hear I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those Who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, the question I have to you, my friends, is what would Jesus do is often referred to. It's even on a bracelet a lot of people wear. And to consider that in our lives as we proceed day in and day out, lining up with what God says to do and not to do is paramount in the WINGS program that we refer to in our prison ministry. And everything we just read comes under that title, what God says to do and not to do. And there are thousands of things in the Word of God, in addition to the commandments, which once again line up with what God says to do and not to do. And the Lord says here, to you who hear I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. This is what God says to do. So when you ask yourself, well, what would Jesus do in a situation? The Gospel of Luke just told us that. He says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Very hard to do, but we are called to do it, and that's what Jesus would do. This is the exact direction that we are given through the Word of God on how Jesus would handle different situations. Blessing those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. He says to the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. Again, what would Jesus do? This is what he would do. And my friends, we have room to grow because we have work to do to align ourselves with the words and actions of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're human, we don't want to comply with some of these things that the Lord is telling us to do, but he calls us to rise to the occasion, to be the best human beings we can. He says this, my friends, and from the one person who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. So if the person is desperate and needs a coat, give it to him and you'll be blessed. God calls us to do it. It's what Jesus would do. He says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. He's calling us to be generous of heart. God loves a generous giver. Once again, to go the extra mile in generosity for those in need, for people who are without in different situations. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. The golden rule. We read that in different gospels. The golden rule. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. So, my friends, we are called to treat others equally, fairly. Once again, to bring justice to situations, to love those who you don't even know. God calls us to treat others as we would like to be treated. Are we treating our children fairly? Or are we raising our voices, putting a lot of fear into them, trying to discipline them through fear versus love? Can we offer them a balance as we discipline our kids, offering them the love of God, reassuring them how much we love them in the same breath as we talk to them about life's lessons? Can we do it? God calls us once again to rise to the occasion and to be the best husbands and wives, mothers and fathers to our children, and to not break hearts, but to bring the love of God, second greatest commandment, to love one another. And the Lord says this in the Gospel of Luke, but rather love your enemies, do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Again, what would Jesus do to the unkind and to the wicked? He's going to treat them as he would like to be treated. He is himself is kind. And so we too must be kind. We must learn, my friends, from the Gospel of Luke. Learn from the Word of God and put it into action as often as we can. We have to grow in faith and then practice our faith. Practice what we preach and not be hypocrites. But we're human, and we're prone to making mistakes, my friends. And it's okay. But we want to be going in the right direction. Faith is a journey. God calls us to, again, to continuously improve ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, to be the best that we can be. God says this in the Gospel of Luke, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do you show mercy and forgiveness to those who are calling for it? Or are you holding a grudge, the spirit of bitterness, spirit of unforgiveness? Are you holding that for years? God says, be merciful. In the Word of God, it says, you know, if you don't forgive your brother, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. He says, don't bring a gift to the altar before you mend your differences with your brother. Go first and mend your differences with your brother or sister, and then bring your gift to the altar. For if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that you have a problem with this person, you still have work to do. God wants us to be right. He wants us to have peace of mind. Those things won't disappear. We'll carry them to the grave. So he calls us to be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Again, what would Jesus do? He would do just as his Father would do. We too have to do the same. Very simple. The Lord says to stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. We're in a society where people are judged every day by the color of their skin, by the car they drive, the home they live in, how much money they have in the bank, the kind of career they have. We need to close our eyes and stop looking at those indicators, because the Lord is always looking at the heart of a person. He wants to see the value of that person from the heart. Is he a loving person, a good person, a giving person? He's not looking, and he does not care about the home we live in, how much it costs, the kind of car we drive, the suit we wear. He doesn't care. What he cares most about is the heart. What kind of heart do you have, my friends? Is it open, wide, full of love? Or is it cold and stingy, unloving, unwilling to bring out the love of God to other people because of pride, jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego? What kind of heart do you have today, my friends? If your heart needs to warm up, get on your knees and pray to our Heavenly Father right now that He will lift you up and that He will open your heart wide to the love of God that only He can provide through us, our Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. The Holy Spirit, my friends, will help us to get to the point that we need to get to within our hearts. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. There's a lot of people who are unloved in this world. Every day people are forgotten. Senior citizens are forgotten in nursing homes. Children are forgotten while parents are out there enjoying themselves. Men and women incarcerated are forgotten. What can you and I do to bring more love into the hearts of other people? The Lord says to forgive and you will be forgiven. And He teaches that message at the top of the cross when He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And many times people really don't know what they're saying or what they're doing, but they are acting out undisciplined in an angry way. It's up to you and I, my friends, to forgive them through the love of God, the peace of God, the Word of God, and to help to educate and motivate them to be better people. That's our show for today, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Clear for Takeoff. It's been my pleasure being with you today at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.